And now, the continuing adventures of Superhero Speak, episode 28. Hey everyone, if you are watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's a great wrap-up show on YouTube called Agents of Speak. You guys should check it out. And who's doing that show? Well, we are over at Superhero Speak. So go to YouTube, search Superhero Speak, find our channel, and subscribe to it. And you can watch it live every Tuesday at 9. We basically sit down, talk about the show, our thoughts on it, and give a rating on each episode. So this episode is John, Ben, and I. And we sit down and talk everything Marvel that's been going on the last couple of weeks. We touch on previews that have been released, Thor, a little bit about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and we even get into time travel a little bit. So, hope you enjoy. This is The Marvelous Men, and here we go.
I was smashed last night. You were rarely going to hear that from me.
What kind of cookies were they?
Huh? Oh, yeah, if it only were just the cookies.
So it was daylight savings time. See, I don't even know that anymore because I only use my phones for time.
Yeah.
So they automatically correct.
Yeah, see, I was up to watch it switch. And I was glad for it too, because I'm like, oh yes, I get a whole extra hour of sleep. And of course I still woke up at 6:30. Damn it.
Yeah. Well, I woke up early as well, but that's my kids' fault. They didn't get the memo on the time change.
Well, my daughter still passed out cause she was up with me. It was her first adult Samhain. So she she was up the whole time and, you know, she's really excited, really excited, really excited. Gone. She was down in like a second.
It's almost like kids in New Year's, right?
Yeah.
I don't think my kids have ever made it to the ball dropping.
No.
Dude, I don't make it to the ball dropping. I'm like, this is taking too long. What is it, 11:50? All right, good night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
What the heck?
My children are insane.
I hear that they are up now.
Are they arguing about something?
They're supposed to be cleaning their rooms. And apparently, and I told them that I was going to be recording, and apparently that doesn't seem to matter much to their brains.
No, what that means is Daddy's busy recording so we can fight.
Yeah. No, it's funny because they completely give the sincere, like, "We'll be quiet, Daddy. It's no big deal. You can go do your recording." But I don't think they know what quiet means. I don't think they understand the concept.
No, they don't.
Of keeping peace.
They're children. That, of course, they don't.
Yeah. You mean me yelling at the top of my lungs isn't being quiet?
So, I've been playing what's is possibly the greatest video game of all time.
Okay.
Plants vs. Zombies?
No. Lego Marvel's... it's not
Lego Marvel Superheroes.
Yes, that's it. Lego Marvel...
Is that, Ben, is that why your image there is Lego Hulk?
Actually, no. That was from our New York trip. That's an actual Lego statue of the Hulk from the Toys R Us store. But... But I have been playing that as well.
Oh.
So.
The hell have I been missing?
Apparently a lot.
A lot, yes. Bless you.
I'm getting sick.
I hope not.
Get you sick over the internet. That would be cool.
Yeah, awesome.
Would that be one of those computer viruses?
Ha ha ha.
Yeah, I don't think those work.
No.
Ooh, Thor, sequel, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. collide. Interesting. Sorry.
Interesting.
Oh, wait a minute. That's one of the things I think I wanted to talk about. But
Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. will have a crossover of sorts with the upcoming Thor sequel.
See? Huh. And who predicted it?
I don't know. Did we?
I did. I said it.
We all projected it.
every
you need to do when we do these Agents of Speak shows, you have to actually listen.
every
not just spew whatever thoughts you have.
But that's my charm. And every geek on the planet projected that. I mean, you know, who doesn't want a Marvel team up for crying out loud?
Well, sure, but no, I think we actually were pretty, you know, saying that it makes sense. It's a sensible marketing strategy for them to promote the movie through the show. So a crossover, it just makes sense.
Well, and vice versa, too. The movie to promote the show. But the thing is, it's like they've been spending so much time talking about the incident in New York on mm-hmm. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like you can't have a big event like Thor is going to be and not talk about it on the show.
Are we recording? Because, you know, this would be awesome.
We're always recording.
We're always recording.
Oh, good.
We'll see how he creatively edits it later. But
he'll just cut out all the parts where I'm talking. That's okay. I'm used to it.
No, I don't do that anymore.
So yeah, okay, anymore, right? Thanks. So here's the little spiel. The Well, I guess that's the name of the next episode or one of the episodes of Agents.
Yeah.
In the aftermath of the events chronicled in the feature film Marvel's Thor: Dark World, Coulson and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pick up pieces, one of which threatens to destroy a member of the team, like every other week, on Tuesday, November 19th. Oh, wow, that's going to be quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, that's the next episode. That's on the 19th. So they're taking another week off?
No. No, it's new this week.
Okay.
So it must be...
So on November 19th is the episode that happens technically after the movie. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see another episode this week, but the 19th episode will tie in to the Thor movie somehow.
So what? This one, this episode's going to end with them hearing explosions and, you know, around and then sitting out the entire battle that Thor has to deal with and then coming back and saying, oh, we'll just clean up. No problem.
Sure. That could happen.
Yeah, I know budget and real life and all that. It's just kind of funny, you know. Oh, this will end the entire universe. Don't you have Iron Man on speed dial? I mean, or somebody, or is he still rebuilding all of his suits now?
Well, that's
well, he does have to do that. Now he has to design them so they don't attach to his chest.
yeah, it's true. That's no true. Power supply.
But yeah,
space for the batteries.
Right. But I'm looking at the last one had batteries in all of the individual pieces because obviously it could operate autonomously. But still, I don't think he had considered the model where he wouldn't have that in his chest. And all of those things got destroyed, so doesn't really matter. But I'm looking at the episode list for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And there are two episodes preceding the Well. There's this week's on the 5th called Fzzt, and then episode 7 is called The Hub, which is on the 12th, and then finally on the 19th we get The Well.
Yeah, if I remember the previews for Fzzt, it was there's some kind of like virus and it affects Fitz and Simmons.
Yeah, I remember. I don't think I actually saw the preview for it.
Well, you were in Boston.
That's true. But I watched the episode eventually on my DVR. I think it cut short of actually showing me the preview.
Okay, yeah, and mine cut halfway through the preview, but yeah, it looked like there's some kind of virus and it affects them. And
interesting.
Yeah.
So it only affects geeks?
Well, I'm sure there'll be some explanation. They're targeted or something. The brains of their little team.
Right. I'm sure
we'll talk more in detail about that on Tuesday.
Right, on Agents of Speak.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which this will go up after that.
Yes. Well, that's true. So if you enjoyed that, you should definitely enjoy this. Whatever we said there.
Yes.
We apologize for now.
Oh, we're promoting our own shows. This is awesome.
Well, that's what we should do. We're whores like that.
Someone else is
gonna
do it.
Yeah.
But back to the Lego game. I think one of the things I really liked about the Either of you play the Batman 2 Lego game?
Where yeah, was all... the Batman, or the Lego DC Superheroes. And I did play that to completion. Got the 100% milestone. And it was a good game.
I mean, it did, and they continued it with this. They did the one thing that a lot of other video games have failed to do. They have all these different heroes, but yet they all feel like they have their own power sets.
Absolutely. I think they did a really good job of that. Like, Superman is indestructible, and he can fly, or most of the time, not always, and has the right power set, and Batman can do his tricks, and you have Wonder Woman, and you have Cyborg, and you have, Green Lantern, and the Flash, and Aquaman, all having independent power sets, and they all make sense, and they all fit together, and we're all done well in that one. And I think that so far in playing the new Avengers one or the Lego Marvel Superheroes one, they once again they've managed to capture that very well.
Yes.
I haven't gotten far through it, but I played at least 5 or 6 levels into the story. It's like you have each character, and there's a ton of characters in it. But each character has its independent set of powers.
Right. I mean, like, when you're Spider-Man, you can climb on the walls and shoot webs. And then when you're the Human Torch, you fly around and shoot flames. It's like...
Yep.
And they're not like, oh, it's just a slight difference of that. It's right. They're all completely independent.
Well, they also have... there are multiple different versions of the Iron Man suit that have different sets of abilities. So, like, one of them can shoot missiles and do the Omega Beam,
mm-hmm.
Type thing. But then he has another one, the Mark 42, which can actually do a heat beam to destroy gold bricks. So,
yeah, I think we're on like the 5th level, me and Buddy.
By the way, there's a... what console system are you playing it on?
Xbox.
Okay. So on the Xbox, so there's gamer achievements in the game, which is, which all the games tend mm-hmm. to have. But one of the ones I find really amusing, personally, is there's, I want to say it was around maybe the 5th or 6th level, maybe a little bit further along from that, but you end up pairing up the
yes.
Human Torch and Captain America.
Yes, yes.
And so they have a built-in gamer achievement for that of, don't I know you?
It's interesting, too, because the story around it, I mean, it's obvious made up mostly for the game,
yeah.
but it feels like it's tying in things from the comic books and the movies, where you have Nick Fury in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he's up on the helicarrier and he's... So there's like that tie into that movie, but yet you kind of feel like they didn't use the Green Goblin from the movies. They used the comic book Green Goblin,
Although... if you actually get the Green Goblin as the playable character,
mm-hmm.
How you can Hulk up, the Hulk, you can go between the two states.
Right.
The Goblin does the same thing. So he's the Green Goblin, the comic book version. But if you, press and hold Y, he will transform into the ultimate Spider-Man version.
Okay.
Of the
Goblin. All right.
So there's a lot of little things like that I've noticed. A lot of Easter eggs, a lot of, interesting little features like that. Like, for instance, the Hulk's special battle move is basically what he does to Loki in the Avengers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, nice. Back and
smashing
forth
people
ground.
Back and forth.
Puny god, yeah. Puny god.
yes, I laughed the first time he did that in the game.
Yeah. And Venom does that too, can sort of Hulks out, you get him as a playable character.
The one I'm waiting for, I guess it's probably at the end, is Stan Lee.
Yes.
I saw in a preview online, because he becomes the Hulk.
Yes. Well, that's not all, though. He has the ability to Hulk up, which when he does, he's all green, but he still has the glasses and has the Stan Lee hair. but he also, when he's not Hulked up, he has the ability to web swing like Spider-Man. He has the heat vision like... Human Torch and Cyclops, and he has what was the other thing he had? oh, he has the healing factor like Wolverine. So, like, so, if he gets beaten down to low health, instead of just falling apart, he just goes to a skeleton and then regenerates.
So he's Deadpool from Wolverine?
Essentially. But
yes,
better.
He's kind of like
less
the...
Less lame.
He's kind of like, I guess, the Jedi ghosts in the Star Wars games. They can do anything when you get that far.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he's not a character you can unlock until close to the end of the game.
Right. But I'm playing to get there.
Yeah. So yeah, no, it's definitely it's a really fun game, and yeah, I think it's the thing with these Lego games, and I've been playing them since the very first of these have come out, which is like the first Lego Star Wars game and the first Lego Batman game, through like the Indiana Jones ones and all the other ones that have come out, and every single time they step up the game, like the gameplay engine, they always add a little bit more to it each time, and this is no exception. Like it's capturing everything from a Marvel perspective as far as the characters and their power sets, but also just making a really enjoyable, playable game. So.
Yes, if I was to rate it, I would probably give it a 9.
I agree.
Out of 10.
I give it 9 capes.
But he's weighing in. He's raising up all 10 fingers.
Okay. So we have a 10 cape from the peanut gallery.
Yes.
So basically what we're saying here is, John, you need to go buy this game.
Yes.
And start playing it.
But I just got the new StarCraft expansion.
Like I said, you need to go buy this game and start playing it.
Does anyone still play StarCraft?
Well, you know, I don't know, but... You know, I've been playing it since the original Command and since the original StarCraft came out, and
yeah,
you know, the whole Westwood stuff. I've been playing those for so long, and that I have to finish. I have to find out what happens to Kerrigan.
Yeah.
So you know,
no, I'm with you. I played the first one a lot when it came out. I bought the second one, and I played maybe the first 3 or 4 missions, and you know, and I just I sort of lost the thread of it. It wasn't my fault. I mean, it wasn't the game's fault. It was my fault. I just sort of put it down and didn't come back to it. I may at some point. But yeah, it's the game style. It's just a very enjoyable game. And I really wish they gave it more treatment than they did. Like, you know, I understand why World of Warcraft exploded the way it did. But I always sort of felt that... you know, StarCraft got the short shrift as a result.
Yeah, I think it's a much more rich world. And it's got... The storyline is what made the original StarCraft. I mean, it was probably the first of those real-time strategy games where you actually had a storyline where you cared about the characters. Because that's what got people in. They're like, oh my god, Rainer and Kerrigan. Oh my god, Kerrigan's now like the Queen of Blades. Oh, great. You know, they really put extra effort into it that a lot of people noticed.
Yeah.
So I, yeah, but I'm, yeah, between that and freaking Wizard, you know, Wizard 101 and Minecraft style, I'm just swamped for games.
Wizard 101. Oh,
I see those commercials all the time and I just shake my head.
It is the most brilliant money making scheme of all time.
It's not as bad as most. I will give it that. You know, the way those kinds of games work is brilliant. You can get a subscription model going. You know, if you pay the yearly fee, then you get to play the entire thing. And they, unlike most, if you pay real money for stuff in game, it does not make you a god. Because, you know, you get those games that will, if you pay me $1,000, we'll put you at level 80 automatically. Right. Well, they don't really do that. Or, you know, if you pay $50, we'll give you this in-game coinage, which can then transfer into, like, you can buy this sword, which will give you this huge bonus over everybody else. Well, they don't really have anything that you can buy that's, you know, that gives you that much of an edge. So.
No. I mean... Buddy and I play it every once in a while, and it's a fun game, and it's very family oriented. So,
Yeah.
You know, that I think that's one of the secrets to it, is that not only does the kids play it, but the parents will play with them as well, you know? And then it's like, oh, well, I've gone as far as I can with the free. So if we just buy this one thing, we can go on to that next mission. And then, you know, next thing you know, you have put out more money than you want to admit.
Yeah, but well, yeah. They don't do the, I mean, it, basically, if you pay the subscription, you have access to the entire game.
Yeah.
You know, and then everything else is just, you know, basically blinging out your castle, or, you know, getting that plus one on a sword that, you know, might give you, it might save you once every 100 battles.
Right.
So I like it, though. And it's good for my daughter.
Yeah, I just find it amusing to see those commercials during the cartoons that I watch with my kids. And, like, it's, you know, there's the Wizard 101 and there's the Pirates 101 and mm-hmm. there's, like, a dozen other of these things. That it's smart because they're capturing pretty much, I'm sure to an extent, it's all sort of the same game to a degree, you know, or at least the same core engine behind it.
Right.
But yeah, they just reskin it and tool it a little bit to fit these different genres and capture a wider audience. So it's smart.
Yeah, and the gameplay is good. They've got a really nice storyline. At least Wizard 101 does. I don't know about Pirate 101, but the creative team behind it seems to care a lot. So it's not just a grinder, you know.
You're
invested in the story. There's a lot of tertiary missions that you can go on. So it's one of the better ones. I'll give it that. And then there's Minecraft, but yeah.
So there's no Heroes 101? There should be a Heroes 101.
Well, give them time, you know? I mean, I think the last I heard, just Wizard 101 alone has a 23 million installed base.
Wow.
And 5 million people playing it at any given point.
Hmm.
So they worked their way up over, I think the guy's been working on this game for like 15 years.
Wow. That's impressive.
I think we need a Speak 101.
Oh dear. No, we don't want to do that to anybody.
I don't know.
It's called a niche audience, Dave. our niche is small enough now. I don't think we want to go after an even smaller niche.
Hey, if we can get 20 people playing it, that would be great. I mean, we're just going to charge them $1,000 per subscription. Right.
That'll work
and
well.
And then we can create our own guild, Agents of 101.
I call Coulson.
Oh, God.
Fine, I'm Thor.
Well, you know, if you've been swinging that sword all day, then yeah, you'll be Thor, all right.
Sorry,
had to do it.
I don't know if you had to, per se. But
no, it's me. I had to.
Yeah, he had to.
So anyway, so we had some... speaking of Thor, that's obviously coming out next weekend.
Right.
Or in a couple of days when this actually airs. I definitely think... Well, I'm going to see it no matter what happens. I'm sure my family wants to see it. I haven't discussed plans yet. I know we keep talking about maybe going to see it as a group. One way or another, we all need to see this movie, and we all need to talk about it. But I there's a lot of things going on in the movieverse in general, especially on the Marvel side, that we haven't talked about in a while.
Yeah.
For instance, there's a new trailer out for the X-Men, Days of Future Past. As well as a trailer for, what was the other trailer?
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier, that's it.
Oh, that was an awesome trailer.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, which do we talk about first?
Days of Future Past, I think.
Okay. So, I've never read the actual comic series. I'll admit that off the bat. Though I don't necessarily think you have to appreciate the movie. I think that they're taking enough liberties that it doesn't really matter. They're doing their own story.
Right.
But looking at the trailer that they have, it's for one, it seems like it's an interesting approach to the time travel element, that they're not actually sending them back through time. They're sending them back into themselves in the past. So Wolverine is going to get sent back, but to basically inhabit his body in that time period.
Right. Which I'm kind of hoping they explain, because it seems a little, you know, quantum leap-ish.
Yeah. So, here's the thing that I question a little bit about it. So they're planning to send him back. I believe I recall seeing part of one of those scenes that Magneto was also going to go back.
From what? He's so old. How long did he last?
But so he was going to go back into his body as well. But then you see other scenes in the trailer where it seems like Wolverine's meeting up with Magneto, but Magneto's not cognizant of, like, it's not the old Magneto. It's the quote unquote present day Magneto,
right,
interacting with Wolverine. But acknowledgeable that Wolverine came from the future. Like, I think he says something like, I take it we're not friends in the future.
Right, but I mean, that could be, you know, something happens in the movie that keeps Magneto from going back.
Fair enough. So it leaves Wolverine to sort of manage things on his own.
Right.
Which I kind of find a little bit, I don't know how I feel about that. Because, again, it's putting Wolverine in the center spotlight, where he's been for so many of these movies. And I'd rather not have him be the center stage. I'd rather have it be, A, I'd rather have it be more of an ensemble, and B, I'd rather see someone else be the focal point for a change.
Right, but in their defense, he was the focal point in the story, you know, in the original comic book story. So,
sure.
But right, but given the fact that he's been the focal point of all the movies,
yeah,
other than First Class, because he wasn't right in First Class.
Well, yeah, it was very, very briefly, though.
Right. Best cameo ever. Yes. You kind of want, yeah, you do kind of want it to be just like, no, let's make it Storm, or let's make it Cyclops. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he's dead. I forgot.
Right. They killed him. In the future, at least. But I do find, the one thing I did find interesting, though, with the trailer is what they talk about is, I think there's a line that Charles Xavier says, you know, that I need you to do for me what I once did for you. And what that's relating to is you know, from the very first X-Men movie where, you know, Wolverine's lost and sort of, you know, not doesn't have it together. And Xavier helps him get things on track, helps him figure things out. And I think he's saying to do the same, that he wants him to do the same for him. I'm not entirely sure why Xavier can't go back and influence him himself, but I don't know, maybe there are reasons. But yeah, so basically it's on Wolverine to sort of pull Charles out of a pretty deep funk, which we see some evidence of in the trailer as well, that he is definitely somewhat definitely seeming desperate and at a loss.
Right. I mean, you feel like it's probably the aftermath of First Class.
Yeah.
But again, they don't explain, well, I mean, it's a trailer, right? But they don't explain, you know, okay, well, he went into this funk, but that's just what happened. You know, it wasn't an event that changed the past, you know?
Right.
Where,
well, yes and no. I think that probably a lot of his funk was caused by the events of Days of Future Past. But I want to say that there's potentially still a chance that something has changed in the timeline here that they're not really telling much about in the trailer, mm-hmm. probably for sense of suspense. We know that Bolivar Trask is a pivotal character. We know that he's developing these Sentinels and all this stuff. They've been like teaser websites and things to that effect that have shown us that. And I wonder if that's not entirely because it just seems advanced technology to have sprung up in such a short period of time in that particular time period. You know, advanced robotics in the, you know, early 70s
right.
seems like a bit of a stretch. So I want to say that there probably is some other sort of time event that catalyzes this, that basically creates the desolate future that Wolverine has to save the world from.
It was the search for Sarah Connor. or you know, or Doc. Yeah, one of those. They messed something up.
Right.
Doc messed everything up.
So many things you can extrapolate from a DeLorean.
Yeah, no. And that's the whole thing, right? It's like, you know, they've told the story of Days of Future Past not only in the comic, they've told it in the cartoons too, in both the 90s series and then Wolverine and the X-Men. I don't know if either of you guys watched that one.
Yeah.
And in you know, in all of those, it's like there was this pivotal moment, you know, here that caused all of this destruction in the future. And we need to change that pivotal moment, you know. And I kind of think that's what's going on, is Xavier just can't go back and into his own body and make a different decision. He needs to influence himself to be different, you know, so that it goes down a whole totally different path.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But then you get into your basic time paradox, where they go back and change the past to get a better future, but yet that bad future didn't happen, so they never went back to change the past.
And suddenly, right, right. you're in Looper, and nobody likes your movie anymore.
Exactly.
You know, I just saw that recently. I actually enjoyed the movie. I thought it was decently done. Though the Hishi was enjoyable on that, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely am curious how they're going to handle the time travel, you know, paradox handling issue, because there are, generally speaking, two schools of thoughts on how those things get, you know, play out. Either you can't change the timeline. The timeline is fixed and set, and anything that you do is faded and part of that timeline. Or you have, and I guess Looper is sort of the interim where you can change things, but those changes cascade. And then you have your, you know, the third school of thought that the universe could care less about these paradoxes, that, you know, you change things and it does change things.
Right.
But, you know, yours doesn't change you. You know, so
go ahead.
So for instance, like you could argue that Terminator was the first case, but you could also easily argue that it's the third case, that you know, the because the causality it ends up being cyclical, but it doesn't have to be. And I guess Back to the Future sort of plays it a bit loose and goes both ways, that there's some degree where basically he was able to change the course of events.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, having to fix ones that affected him personally. But, you know, it's very feasible that you could have a version of time travel where Marty McFly could go back, cause his parents never to get together, and have no impact on him as a person.
Right, right. Because he could have still been born, just into a different family.
Well, he's from a different timeline, and they sort of...
Well, that's true.
In the second movie, where everything went haywire, and they lived in this dark... They ended up in this dark version of the present because of Biff. So they sort of address that version of the time paradox, where causality isn't, you know, these paradoxes don't need to be fixed because they just splinter.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, it's Terminator is one of the worst examples, because, you know, the first movie, standalone, you know, this robot sent back to kill the leader of the resistance in the future.
Right.
You know. Well, that's all well and good, just leave that as a standalone movie. But then all of a sudden in the second one we go, well, the reason we were able to have this intelligence is because they sent that robot back to kill the Resistance in the future. It's like, what?
Right, but at the same time, you're right, but at the same time, they by the events of the first movie, they instantly created a loop where there was no other fate available to them because right. of the fact that regardless of the technology itself that they were able to extrapolate from and engineer, reverse engineer, the fact that John Connor exists, that he was born and his father came from the future, they created a temporal loop that you couldn't break. So basically, for them to stop those events from transpiring would negate their existence.
Right.
So it basically they're sort of stuck. There is no.
Right. Well, that's what they said. What they said in the third one. Even though in the second one they thought we stopped that future from happening, in the third one it's like no, there was no way of stopping it. It's just the way it is.
Right. You can only delay it.
Right.
But you can't really stop it. Which is why we got an old and grizzled version of the T-800.
Ah, fate. What a bitch. So, yes. Anyway, wow, that was a fun rabbit hole to go down.
A little bit. anything else we want to beat out of the X-Men one, or do we want to move on to the other one?
What do you think about time travel, John? Since you do it all the time.
I think it's one of those timey-wimey, wiggly things that just...
Wibbly-wobbly ball of...
Yes. Stuff. Yes. And don't forget the fourth way of messing with time. Just, you know, jury rig a TARDIS to lock causality, so...
Right. Because why not?
Right, because that's the rule on Doctor Who, right? They can't change fixed points in time.
They're right. This, which is sort of a concept they only really brought up in the recent revival of the series. I don't think that was a thing in the original series seasons. But yeah, they have. Whereas obviously there's a general quantum leap-ish feel to the show in that he never goes where he intends to go, but he always goes where he needs to be to sort of fix things that are going awry. But then, yeah, there are certain things that are fixed, and a lot of it seems to be tied to if the outcome is known, then you can't interfere with it.
Right.
So, like, for instance, things like the Kennedy assassination or Hitler, you can't stop those things from happening because the outcome is known and fixed. Whereas if it's more nebulous, if it's a different sphere of influence, then... You know, where you are not a known participant in it, then you can influence it. And that's why the Doctor can do half of the things he does. But that's also come back to bite him with how they basically wrote Amy and Rory out of the show by basically having him know their fate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once he knew how they died, he couldn't go back to visit them again.
Right.
They couldn't cross time paths again.
How convenient. So anyway, Winter Soldier.
So movies, yeah. So Winter Soldier.
Can I just say that they're getting rid of the helicarrier so they can make way for the tricarrier? You know that's what they're doing, right?
Well, they definitely... only reason. Yeah. They definitely had some really cool stuff with that, and it seemed like they had multiple helicarriers if I read things in that preview right, because it seemed like that you saw that hangar bay open and the helicarrier rise up out of it, but it seemed like there were two or three of those at least, so it seemed like they may have multiple helicarriers.
Yeah,
which isn't surprising. It's a military. That's how they do things. But yeah, this trailer I thought was great from beginning to end. You know, with the beginning, with him jumping off of the out of the plane with no parachute,
right,
and just like it was no big deal. I think that's stepping things up for Captain America and showing him more confident in his skills and more more present as himself in a way that we hadn't really seen so far. And I like that. You know, utilizing his abilities to their to their potential.
Right. I mean, one of the things that's, it seems like they're taking, you know, a personal story from the Captain America comic books and putting it into a large scale, which makes me excited. Yeah. Pardon me. You know, I think it's going to be a lot better than the first one, and I enjoyed the first one. Ah, hold on. I need a drink of water.
Go ahead. But yeah, I agree. There definitely seems to be some, you know, you have the Winter Soldier elements, but you also have a lot of other things going on. Some political intrigue. You have this Robert Redford character, which you're really not sure what his role in things is. And I tend to believe that means it's got to be something darker than it looks like.
That we know who that is, don't we?
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't we? You guys are more up on canon than I am, but that's the Red Skull.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was going to say that out loud, but there is a storyline in the comics and they've done it in the cartoons where the Red Skull comes back and he's disguised as like a senator or a guy working for the Pentagon.
Yeah. And spoilers. Yeah. Okay. There.
Usually you're supposed to say that before.
Have I caused a fixed point in time? Damn it. I hate when I do that.
Well, we'll mention in Agents of Speak that there are spoilers in this episode.
But yeah, that's one of the, something they have explored quite a few times in the comics is that Steve Rogers or Captain America goes against what the government asks him to do because it's not the right thing, you know, especially for America and freedom and those kinds of things. Right.
Well, that's something that's come up in the comics a couple of different times. It's not uncommon. I mean, it's not common, but it has occurred. Like, for instance, in Civil War, that was his role in that he was definitely against. He felt that while, yes, he is a patriot and whatnot, the Registration Act, he felt, was went against basic civil liberties. And so he took sides against it.
Right, and then there was a story in the early 80s where he walked away from being Captain America because he didn't feel in good conscience he could be Captain America anymore. And then there was a guy who replaced him who then later became U.S. agent. And there was a whole like weird story behind that. But it was the same basic things that they're shown in the previews, you know, like who can you trust, you know, people telling him that, those kinds of things. And, right.
And that's a seed they planted in the Avengers with the whole, you know, all the guns that they developed from the Tesseract technology that Captain America came across on the helicarrier.
Right.
So that seed has already been sown. So it's not too surprising that they're scratching that itch a little bit deeper.
And I would like to make a prediction. I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I'm going to say that...
Hopefully it's a strong limb.
I'm going to say that that's the movie that Clark Gregg returns as Coulson back into the movie universe.
You think?
Because I think that's going to be the catalyst that makes Steve Rogers and Captain America question, should I be listening to what these S.H.I.E.L.D. guys are saying? Because they lied to me about this guy dying, and then we all went off and, you know, fought these aliens based on that lie.
All right. I'll take that prediction, but I don't agree with it. I don't think they'll bring him back that quickly in the movieverse. I think that they're going to wait on that. Maybe in a end of movie scene at most, or an after credit scene, but I don't think it's going to be a catalyst. I don't think it's going to be a major plot point. I think that he's going to reach that conclusion in different ways. Something more subtle. And actually if they did do that, I would feel a little bit, I don't know, disappointed. I think that would be too soon. I think they'd be, because it'd be, you know, taking something they did, as far as Captain America is concerned, you know, towards the end of the last movie, and then going back on it, you know, for a plot point so soon. I mean, granted, time has passed and other things have happened, but for Captain America, this is the next step, and I think that they, I don't think that that fits. I think it's too soon.
Okay, I agree with your thought there, but I'm also keep going back to the fact that he's running around the world in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Logically, they would cross paths at some point.
Perhaps, but he's keeping a generally low profile, I think. He's running a small team on very covert ops. I think if their paths cross, I don't think it's going to be yet. And honestly, I still believe that we're going to see something else. I don't think Coulson is going to... I think we're going to see some sort of transformation with Coulson as we learn more about the events around his death. I still think there's a chance that maybe he could become Vision in the future, and that's how he may get reintroduced to the movie universe.
I don't know. Not 100% sold on the Vision thing.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But at the same time, I don't think he needs to come back to the movie universe. I love the character, but I think he's perfectly, you know, fine where he is. I think that if they can keep that show running, I will watch that show as long as it runs.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that as well, that it's a great show and keep it running. It just, from a real world perspective, it just seems weird that, you know, Captain America is the one who's going to be the most involved with S.H.I.E.L.D. because he's the soldier. And he's still in the military, technically, you know, and he doesn't have a world outside of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now because he's a man out of time as well. Everyone he knew and loved and grew up with is all gone, you know. Yeah. So,
but at the same time, I think it makes more sense to have that realization and any catharsis that comes with that to happen on the small screen. I think rather than have Coulson show up in Captain America, I think Captain America should show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and have it be addressed that way. Have their paths cross on TV rather than having them cross on the big screen.
All right. We'll see. Maybe we should make a gentleman's bet on this.
I will bet my no money against your no money.
Okay. All right. You heard it first here, everyone. We're betting no money that Clark Gregg will show up as Coulson in Winter Soldier.
Well, we kind of have, April when this is going to come out in theaters?
Yeah.
So, all right, between now and then, we'll both save up enough money to buy each other lunch.
All right.
It takes you that long to save up money for lunch? What kind of lunch are you eating?
You work where we do. You know how much we make.
Yeah, that's true.
So. It's dramatic emphasis, John.
Yes.
Oh. Yes, 3 hours of sleep, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I definitely, amongst all the trailers I've seen for some of these movies to date, that one it excites me the most. The Captain America Winter Soldier one has me most excited to go back to the theaters. And all the way down, you know, with, you know, Black Widow just being herself, introducing the Falcon, you know, soaring around. And having, you know, that end closing scene where the shield gets thrown and Winter Soldier just reaches out and grabs it is just classic.
Yeah. And I'm kind of curious how they're going to handle the Falcon, too, because that was one of the first miniseries I collected was the Falcon's miniseries in the 80s. And, you know, in the comics, he's a guy from a bad part of New York, you know, and he's just trying to make the neighborhood better. And then he gets involved, becomes friends with Captain America, gets involved with him, and they become partners. But, mm-hmm. you know.
I tend to believe, and this is conjecture to a degree, that the route that they're going here with this is because you know that with the events of the Avengers, you know, the Avengers aren't really, you know, under S.H.I.E.L.D. control. They started the initiative to bring them together, but they're really sort of loose agents. The only ones that S.H.I.E.L.D. has any influence over are Black Widow, Hawkeye, and Captain America.
Right.
And even the latter is only to the extent that Captain America feels that he's fighting the right fight, which might be part of the contention we see in this movie.
Right.
So my guess is that the introduction of Falcon will be in the form of a military effort to try to step up the game. You know, yeah. It's sort of in the same way that they, you know, sort of seized one of Tony Stark's armor suits to make the War Machine /
Iron Patriot.
Mm-hmm. I think this is an effort to take technology to make some better soldiers and make some better individual soldiers that could be, you know, the heroes that they can control.
No, I agree with that, because without Thor and Iron Man too, you look at it this way, they have no air support on that team.
Yeah.
You know, so Falcon makes sense to have air support on a group like that. You right. know, have their own Avengers, which are they control. I'll agree to that point. I won't argue with that one.
Okay. No wagers on that one.
No wagers on that one. Okay. Two lunches is way too much to ask.
Those are the things we have to look forward to. I did get, I want to say that the director of Thor was a bit cheesed recently over one of the after credit scenes that he was forced on him.
Right.
I heard about that.
And I want to say it has to do with tie-in for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Which, honestly, well, I guess that's the most sensible franchise to tie it into, being cosmically connected. You know, Thor being across all the different realms, you know, in the universe. That's a logical introduction point. It'd be weird to sort of tie it into Captain America. With no when it seems like there's no alien threat whatsoever in that movie.
Right. Well, the thing I took away from that article, which I found fascinating, is that there's two after credit scenes, and the only one that they mention is one is a tie into Guardians of the Galaxy. So what is this other after credit scene as well? Well,
I think that's sort of a common thing now that one was the big deal for a little while. But now it's expected, so they have to take it into another degree, and now they have two. So, like, for instance, with the Avengers, they had two. They had the infamous Thanos scene, but then they had the shawarma scene.
Yeah.
So it may not necessarily be anything, like, spectacular and revealing. It may be something more like the shawarma scene. That is the second scene, and that might be more within the director's control.
Right. True. It was a little cheesy, though.
It was, but it was fun. But it might be something, and maybe it's not something that simple, but maybe it's something that teases towards more directly Captain America's next phase, you know, where things go from there. Or something with, the Falcon, maybe the Falcon getting a call from Tony Stark or something like that to, get invited to the Avengers.
Did Iron Man 3 have an after credit scene? I don't remember.
Iron Man 3's after credit scene was the one with Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
As if he was telling him the whole
story.
Right. Yes, okay.
I'm not that kind of doctor.
Yes.
All right. Yes. All right. So, yeah, and it wasn't a setup for anything else. It was just kind of
it was just a nice wrap up that kept the humor high.
Yes. All right. But yeah, I wonder. Yeah. And also, I can't blame Marvel because I don't know how much buzz there is around Guardians of the Galaxy other than what I've read online. And, you know, Thor promises to be a blockbuster, so they have to do something to help create more of a buzz around it, I think. You know, so that's what you do. Throw in a teaser to it in the, you know, the movie, you know, that's going to be real big before the holiday.
See, but they've got a CGI raccoon and Groot. I mean, how much more do you need to sell this?
Well, I completely agree with you, and I hope that we actually see them in the post-credit scene, because so far we haven't really seen anything real on that. But I think that with Guardians of the Galaxy, it's, while there certainly is probably a strong fan base in the hardcore community, it's not something that probably has a strong appeal to the masses. And so I think they need to tease it a bit to sort of to grow that audience, to say, this is not something I expected. This might be interesting.
Right.
Because there's, you know, with Thor, there's name recognition. With Captain America and Iron Man, people know those names. People recognize those names, and they'll come out to the theater for those names, even if they're not big fans. If they seem like they have an interesting story, they'll come out. You know, the Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't, except for the diehard fans, You know, it doesn't have any, it doesn't ring any bells for anybody.
Right, right. And that's even within the comic book community, they're not that huge of a book.
They're, I would say they're C-list.
Right. You know, which I still find it was interesting that they chose them to make a movie with. But they obviously felt that it fit within their plan, you know, of the cinematic universe.
Yeah. Well, I think that shows that there's something that they have in mind. They have a greater plan, and that's exciting, that they actually have an idea of where they want this universe to go and how they want to build it. And so they, you know, and it makes sense that, so, you know, and we've talked about this before. Phase one was the terrestrial heroes, technological or, you know, whatever, you know, with Captain America and mm-hmm. Iron Man, and they started to introduce the cosmic with Thor, and they're trying to take that to the next degree so they can introduce things like Nova. And because I think that's really what Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm sure they probably could keep a franchise going with it if this movie ends up being good, but I think it's a bridge to things like Nova and other cosmic entities that are out there that they haven't really introduced, and maybe even Captain Marvel.
Can I just say that how sad it is that Marvel can bring out a C-list group and DC can't even get freaking, you know, Justice League off the ground?
Yeah.
Yes. It's, well,
I don't know.
I will say this for those listening, all five of you.
Yeah. Oh, we have three more? Wow.
This is our this episode is wrapping up to be our Marvel, all Marvel special, and we'll be doing an all DC one next. So
yes, that one will be about 5 minutes long.
No. There's stuff to talk about.
There's things to discuss there. Though
I pose this question to both of you, you know, Marvel has a plan. They're stuck to the plan. It's been successful to this point.
Mm-hmm.
But if Guardians of the Galaxy was to flop, do you think they would shift gears on their plans?
I think they'll shift gears to a smaller degree, but I don't think they'll shift gears to a larger degree. So if you look at, you know, on the line of flops, Iron Man 2 was kind of a flop, but it didn't really cause them to back away from Iron Man as a property.
Mm-hmm.
They kept going with it. They just realized, like, look, this was a bump in the road. This particular plot didn't work that well. So let's, you know, get a new director on it, get a new writer on it, and try to keep this going. And I think that's what they would probably do. If Guardians of the Galaxy flops, I don't think it's going to significantly rejigger their roadmap. I think they can roll with it to a degree. But I am excited, you know. So I think I'm more excited though about the unknowns in the future of the Marvel Universe than I am with the knowns. Like, I mean, not that I do have an interest in seeing Guardians of the Galaxy, and the movies that we know about. But I want to know more about Ant-Man and Doctor Strange and Black Panther and the other characters that they've already sort of either confirmed or at least hinted at. Being on the docket for the next phases, I'd like to know more about that. I can't wait. I'm like a kid at Christmas.
Yeah. Well, actually, I just looked it up, and it's funny because a lot of people have said that about Iron Man 2, but its budget was $200 million, and it made $623 million in the box office. Huh. So that's not really a flop. It's just not...
Well, yeah, it's not a financial flop, but the movie was not strong.
Right. I think what it was is critically, it wasn't as strong as the first one. So that just made them up their game for Iron Man 3.
By making them fight without a suit for almost the entire movie. Yes, I could see how they upped their game.
Well, they brought in the Mandarin, right? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Actually, you mentioned the Mandarin. I read something really interesting about the Mandarin recently. And maybe this was a... I want to say this was a post-credit scene that they hinted at. Or no, it's a Marvel one-shot that may be due out soon. Where there's a confrontation scene between Ben Kingsley's fake Mandarin and the real Mandarin.
Ooh.
All right, like, John just got wet.
Now you, Hey.
This is a
well, that's
show.
Because I spilled my drink, you know? It's what happens when you take me by surprise with stuff that I predicted, damn
that,
it.
That spit take that just sort of bounced back at him. So. But
it was hot tea. I can't sue myself for it being too hot. Oh, well.
Yeah. But yeah, so supposedly they're not giving up on the idea that, like, the Mandarin, they're not apologizing for the Mandarin they gave us. But they're also saying that, you know, this might not be the last you hear about the Mandarin. You know, they're, you know, because they've also hinted, they hinted at the Mandarin in the first Iron Man movie with right. the ten rings.
Yeah.
So that my guess is that maybe they're trying to set up this idea that there is this real Mandarin out there that has laid low and kept off the radar and is now a bit upset that his name got used the way it got used.
Well,
and that's what brings him into the spotlight.
But they also are setting, majorly setting up a concept in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That, you know, just because you see a person here looks like they're in charge doesn't mean that's the person in charge, you know. Yeah. And again, yeah. You know, they, as we discussed before, like, he was a figurehead, you know. He was the actor, the guy on the screen, but, you know, and he was using the name Mandarin, but was he really the guy in charge? No. Obviously, there was more going on there.
Right, right. So, and even in Iron Man 3, like, when what's his name? Why can't I think of his name right now? It wasn't Justin Hammer. Alder Killian.
Yes.
Was talking about the Mandarin. He talks about how it's like this boogeyman name that's been out there forever that he just picked up and used. You know, and for all intents and purposes, he is the Mandarin.
Right.
So, but it's obviously that's, it sort of hints at the fact that there is, with there being this myth and this legend, you know, we all know that most of these myths and legends start with a kernel of truth. And so, somewhere out there, there is a real Mandarin, a real boogeyman, so to speak, that's staying in the shadows.
That has magical rings.
Yeah, that'll be hard to work into, a storyline where he just doesn't leave a burn mark on the street where Iron Man used to be. I mean, when he has all 10 rings, he's pretty much done, you know?
Yeah. And well, maybe he doesn't have all 10 rings, but, well, I think that's where they're building the universe. And I think that's part of the value of it is that they can, by the time they do finally introduce the Mandarin, you know, the real Mandarin, you know, Iron Man won't necessarily have to go up against him alone. That'll have reinforcements in the form of some other people, maybe Doctor Strange and other, and maybe, you know, Nova or other members from the cosmic realm of things. You
Avengers
know,
Avengers so, 3.
Maybe. I was about to say, is this
could be Avengers 3?
Are we talking Avengers 3? Because in Phase 3, we can introduce Doctor Strange and then have him helping out the Avengers in Avengers 3.
Perhaps.
Mm.
And they've also, I've heard mention, I think from Kevin Feige in some statement he made with regard to Thanos. You know, we had that tease of Thanos at the end of the Avengers. They're saying that that wasn't really meant to be a tease of something happening soon. You know, they may leave Thanos for, like, you may not see him in a movie, except maybe in other teasers,
mm-hmm.
for years. You know, it may be a long way down the road. They're building towards something big. So.
Huh. Interesting. I look forward to all of this. And you know what else I look forward to, guys?
What's that?
I look forward to Agents of Speak every Tuesday at 9 Eastern Standard Time on YouTube.
Oh, I see what you did there.
A wrap-up show for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We're advertising in the show now? I didn't know we were doing that.
That was a good impression of a, you know, an announcer voice. That was quite impressive.
I tried my best, gentlemen.
This show has been brought to you by Agents of S.P.E.A.K. Watch it every Tuesday, immediately after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or eventually, depending on how many technical difficulties they run into, getting up and running.
Yes.
but no, the, yeah, definitely, listen to the show. But with the extended universe, one of the things I wanted to mention was Ant-Man. I want to say that there was some rumors going around that they may have found some casting, nailed down some casting for Hank Pym and for Janet Van Dyne. Is that her name? The Wasp?
Yes.
Yep.
In the form of, I want to say Paul Rudd is one of the top contenders to play Hank Pym.
Now,
so they had another guy. I want to say there was a second guy they had in contention for that role too, but I can't remember who it was.
Was it Levitt?
It might have been, but I want to say it was someone else. I think Levitt they might have been looking at for Doctor Strange at one point.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt? Is that what
you're... Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
JGL.
But I actually, it's funny because you said that, but then I heard, like, the day those rumors came out that they both, whoever the other person was and Paul Rudd both declined it. Like, no, okay. No, that's not true. So.
Well, a lot of things get declined.
Well, that's
until they
true.
Get confirmed.
So. Well, they're just trial balloons. They'll mention a name, and if sure. fan reaction is like, all right, then they contact the agent and say, you know what?
Right. Just like Batman with Ben Affleck. Oh, wait.
Oh, God damn it. That didn't work. sorry. That just... Never mind.
Well, DC probably doesn't listen as well.
Yeah. The idea of Paul Rudd doesn't bother me at all.
No, it doesn't. I like him as an actor. It's what I find funny about it, though, is if you look at... So taking that in consideration, Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, look at what they have in the universe now. They have, you know, they're doing the Guardians of the Galaxy with Chris Pratt as the headline guy in that.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking comic actors and putting them in these dramatic roles, which is not to say they can't do that sort of thing. But I think that that's a testament to the fact that Marvel understands that comedy needs to be a part of this universe for it to work. I think
right.
that comedy is just as important to these stories. And we saw that with Iron Man 3, that comedy was definitely an important part of all the Iron Man movies, you know, story-wise. And they had someone, you know, they had Robert Downey Jr. who can pull off some, you know, comedic stuff pretty well, you know, to help with that.
I think it goes back to, you know, look at the original Star Wars movies. Would they have been as successful if there wasn't the comedy
Harrison
in them?
Ford as Han Solo. I think you're right. I think that's fair. That I don't think Star Wars would have been as interesting without characters like Han Solo and, you know, other things like that, R2-D2 and C-3PO got a little overused, I think, in the newer trilogy.
Yeah.
What newer trilogy?
The prequel.
There's this thing.
I don't know what.
If you don't know about it, I would say just stare.
You're opening your mouth and saying words, and I do not understand them.
All right. We'll pretend they don't exist for John's sake.
Right.
This way he can sleep at night.
For Mariner form. Anyway, moving on.
You say you like a movie? Yeah?
Hey. Wrong.
All right. So, anyway. We're at like an hour now, guys. And I think we've beaten all these topics to death.
I think we've done a good job on the Marvel Universe. I'm sure there's a lot of other things we could talk about that we haven't.
Yes.
I will say I'm way behind on cartoons. So I didn't even want to bring those up.
No, I agree. We won't get into it. We'll save that for the next time when we all get caught up on them.
Yeah.
Yes, and for anyone listening, if you disagree or agree with us, you know, make sure you jump on our Facebook page, like us, and let us know.
If you disagree with Dave.
No, Ben. If you disagree with Ben, I want to hear.
Hey, wait, do you want me to bring up my announcer voice again? So you can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and where are we now?
YouTube.
And YouTube to tell us what you think of our show.
We're all over those interwebs.
Or by email.
And you can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Zune Marketplace.
Or comment directly on our blog site, superheroespeak.com.
Yes, I think we covered it. And you can reach me at Dave at superheroespeak.com. John@JohnAtSuperHeroSpeak.com, Ben@BenAtSuperHeroSpeak.com, Scott@Scott@SuperHeroSpeak.com, and now even Pete@Pete@SuperHeroSpeak.com.
I didn't know either of them were even here.
They're not here this episode.
He's a bench warmer.
Yes, they're both bench warmers.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that in a bad way. They're welcome to join when they're ready to.
Yes.
So we'll get them up to the big league soon enough.
Wait, this is the big leagues?
Well, I meant size wise.
Well, they work with us, but, so that's not a problem.
Right. We'll take them out to lunch a few times.
Yes. Oh, wait. We have to save for that.
That's why I said eventually.
Okay, eventually. Alrighty. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Hey everyone, you just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you could also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John. You can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com. And if you want, there's our Twitter account @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.